Welcome, dear friends, to the message of truth coming to you from the studios of Way of Truth Ministries, Altoona, Pennsylvania. This is Dr. Elwood Fahnmiller, speaker on the broadcast, director of the ministry, and we're delighted you've taken the time to tune our way. We trust that something from the Word of God will be a real encouragement to your heart. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I pray this will be the hour, the moment, the day you come to know Him whom to know aright is life eternal. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, and we're going to look at principles to please God. Principles in our lives to please God, and I think we'll find some real interesting things right here in Proverbs in chapter 3. Let's pray. Father, thank you for each one of these who've tuned our way. Thou dost know the need of each heart in life. Thou dost know the need of those who are going through bereavement, challenges in their lives, physical, material. Lord, thou dost know that. Thou dost know those who are listening who have never been born again. Oh, they might be religious, wonderful people. We're not saying anything negative to about the people, except they do not know thee as their personal Savior. They've done the religious rites of the church, and yet they've not been born again. I pray this will be the hour that that takes place. We're going to thank you for how you're going to work in this program, and we'll praise thee in Jesus' name. Amen.
Precious bleeding side.
Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul
thine, O Lord. Your Bible's open to Proverbs in chapter 3. We're going to look at, we'll cover about 12 principles by which we can please God. Principles for you and me to live by. Look, if you will, at Proverbs chapter 3. We realize that the book of Proverbs is basically the writings of Solomon, the teachings of Solomon to his children. Primarily, I believe it was the earlier part of his life, because we read in the Chronicles that that, or actually kings, that David's, or David, Solomon's wives turned his heart when he got old. They turned his heart away from the Lord. So these are the principles that he gave to his sons in those early days. The point of time before everything became vanity, as he says in Ecclesiastes. And I want you to look at verse chapter 3, verse 1. And then we're going to go back over to chapter 1 for just a little bit. He says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." My son, forget not my law. Now, I believe this is Solomon declaring this to his sons, but I believe also it's God speaking to those of us who know him as our personal Savior. My son, forget not my law. The psalmist caught it this way: "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." I believe you and I have a responsibility if we know the Lord. And I thank the Lord that I know him as my Savior. It is my responsibility to hide his word in my heart so I would not sin against him. Go over to Proverbs chapter 1 for a moment and notice something. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now, he's going to give the foundation for his sons to really apply what's going to follow. This is a tremendous step here in letting our children and our and those that we're around to understand how to live right. I believe, and I really mean this, I think if you are a boss or a foreman or have leadership responsibilities in a business, well, or in the church, I believe you ought to read the book of Proverbs every day. One chapter a day for 30 days, and you'll cover, well, it's 31, but you'll cover this book. And I'll tell you what, if you do that, in fact, I'll challenge you to do that for the next 6 months. And you'll want to keep doing it for the next 6 months as well. But what it'll do, it gives you the understanding of how to deal with people and how to deal with situations, how to deal with the ungodly, the rootless business person who comes in in some way and tries to disrupt things, or the employee who's not satisfied with his work and his labors and his pay, even though it'd be the best that it could possibly be, or whatever the case, or maybe how to deal with an employee who just goes above and beyond what you expect them to do. You see, this book will help us learn how to be proper leaders and give us a spiritual insight. Now, notice Solomon said, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now, notice these next several verses. First, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Oh, how we need that today. We need it for old men, too, to be honest with you. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation of the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Now look at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is a beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord brings is the beginning of knowledge. When we come to the place in our lives that as leaders, as we come to our place in our lives and realize that I need to have God directing me. And that's what it means. The fear of the Lord isn't, I'm afraid he's going to zap me somehow. The fear of the Lord is that total respect that God knows the end from the beginning. You know, we'll go over here, and we're going to get there later, but look at verse 5 of chapter 3 for a moment. You're familiar with this verse, probably. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding." I heard somebody make this statement, and so I copied it down. So it's not original with me. Might be original with you. I don't know. But it said, "Trust in the one who has it all figured out. Only he can settle the heart." Think about that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You trust in the one who has it all figured out. Only he can settle the heart. That's a great thought. I don't know who said it, but I found it and I copied it and I repeat it. If I could find out who said it originally, I'd attach their name to it, no doubt. But anyway, I want you to think about that. So what Solomon has done, he's given these seven principles here in the very first chapter to instruct his sons. What I'm going to give you fit into these seven categories that I've just given you in chapter one. So now he says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." First of all, the honor of the Word of God. Why should I have such a high respect for the Word of God? Number one, because it's what exactly it is. It is the Word of God. It's inspired of God. We cannot make too much of the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, I've said it so many times, and you've heard it many times. I'm going to say it again. "For all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Then verse 17 says that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So my son, let not my law depart from your heart. Keep it in your heart. Well, that's God speaking to us as well. Solomon is saying that, but it's a very thought that the Lord would bring through him. God wants us to obey his word. I could tell you a portion of scripture that would be great. In fact, I will tell it to you. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, I think are so wonderful with this thought in mind, that the Word of God should be paramount in our lives. Look at that, if you will, for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and look at verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Now notice, it's drawing the attention of the people of Israel and you and me. It's drawing our attention to the reality that there is only one God. That's why we read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning, God." Then when Christ came on the scene, he said that "I and my Father are one." God in three persons, as we say. Do I understand it? Nope. I'll be honest with you. I believe it, though, because the Bible teaches it, and I could use a lot of scriptures for that. I believe God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." So that's my whole being. Now verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." My son, keep the word of God in your heart. The first principle that you and I can learn is that this Bible, inspired of God, is what will, one, save us. The message of the Bible, and we're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Number two, it is this book that will train us in the way that we should go, how we ought to live. study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And number three, it is the book that will guide us to heaven, guide us through this life, and guide us right on into the very presence of God. It does. The word does that as we have been born again, and then we are instructed in the word of God. Now, the Bible is going to do some things for us. Solomon says this: forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Apply the word of God to our very lives and allow him to work in us. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. They are going to be the very thing that keeps us strong, keeps us encouraged. I would urge you to turn, and I'm not going to take the time to do so, but notice Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Jot that down, if you will, where Joshua is to follow this course of study, and he's to meditate on the word of God day and night so that he'll be strong, so that he'll be fearless insofar as a task that God had for him to do. So the word of God is extremely, extremely important, and tied with the word of God is what we have in verse 3. He says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. In other words, truthfulness. We are to be wrapped around, if you please, with that breastplate of righteousness that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6. We're to have the word of God around our heart, so that our heart, our mind, our life is wrapped up in truthfulness. And so the word of God and truthfulness go together like a hand in a glove. Well, let's listen to a song. We're going to look at the third thing here in just a moment.
I'm learning to lean, learning to lean, learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to Jesus. The joy I can't explain fills my heart since the day I made Jesus my King. His blessed Holy Spirit is leading my way. He's teaching, and I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean, learning to lean, learning to lean on Jesus. Glorious victory each day now for me, since I found his peace so serene. He helps me with each task, if only I'll ask. Every day now I'm learning to lean.
might ever dream.
I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
Now we're equipped with truth when we come into the Word. The Bible says, thy Word is truth. And we need to realize that what we have in our hands when we carry the Bible, when we open this Bible, when we read this Bible, we are reading the truth. It is God's word, God's truth to mankind, and it is the only truth that will save men. We need to understand that. Now, we've said that we look here at the fact of being truthful. And we use the fact of the breastplate of righteousness, number one, protecting our heart with righteousness so we can live in truth. There's no deceit when we have that breastplate of righteousness protecting our heart. Then there's no place where deceit can come in, can enter in. Now, certainly, we're to have our loins girt about with truth. Now, the breastplate of righteousness covers our heart, and then we have our loins girded about so that we can move ahead and do the work of God in truth. And so Ephesians is a great book to put in here and to tie in with the fact of God's word being truth. Now, we want to keep on because there's, like I said, there's 12. We're going to try to cover these in this week and next week so that we can kind of keep the study together. But notice what he says in verse number 4. Thou shalt, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You notice the word of God is going to help us and guide us so that we might find favor with God and man. The Bible talks about Jesus Christ, that he grew in favor with God and man. Jesus Christ, that was after he had been at the temple, and his parents thought he was in the caravan going home, and he wasn't anywhere around. He was in the temple talking with the doctors and lawyers and telling them about he was asking questions and giving answers, biblical answers and questions, and they were amazed at his knowledge. But when his parents came back and called his attention to being with them, you know, he did say, wish ye not, I must be about my father's business. But he went along with his parents, and he grew up there in Nazareth. He grew up in the woodworking shop with his earthly father, Joseph. And, of course, at 33, he came in John chapter 2. He's there at the wedding of Cana in Galilee, and that becomes the first aspect of his ministry, actually after he had called disciples to follow him. But what I'm saying is the Word of God will help you and I to develop in the sight of God and man. Man might hate you because of your stand for Christ, but they're going to respect you on the other hand because you're honoring God with your life. Let's not compromise the Word of God. I think that's a big message here that Solomon is saying. Unfortunately, he did it. Unfortunately, he compromised the Word of God and allowed his heart to be turned away from the truth and from the Word of God. I think many times today we have that same problem. We are trying in our best to try to reach people for Christ, and we'll weaken our churches, we'll weaken our personal life, trying to be accommodating to the world. My friend, we need to stand firmly upon the Word of God, have a heart of compassion and love, and reach out to this world, but never compromise the Word of God. Thirdly, we read this in verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. But notice this, trust in the Lord. The third principle that I see is faith, complete faith in the Lord, that he knows the end from the beginning. This is the way, walk ye in it. As a servant of Abraham said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. I was in the direction that God wanted me to be, and the Lord led me. You see, beloved, you and I have a responsibility, and that is to follow God at all times and not worry whether or not it seems practical or whether or not we can understand why he's going that direction. You know, that was the Apostle Paul's ministry over there in the book of Acts when he made his missionary journeys. There were oft times he wanted to go certain places and God redirected him. And yet God had a divine purpose behind that whole thing. And Paul was not averse to doing what God wanted him to do. But he realized that God was in control of all things. Well, we'll pick up on this study next week. Thank you for listening. My friend, if we can be of help to you in any way, would you give us that privilege? Contact us at WOTBM.org. That's our email. And we'll get back to you as quickly as possible with the information that you request. Or you can write to us, hard mail, at Message of Truth, 315 40th Street, Altoona, Pennsylvania, 16602, USA. May God richly bless you, my friend.